What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast, The Real Rundown. I'm here with Scott and Pedro. What's up, guys?
What's up, everybody?
Well, hello.
Happy year's end. Not New Year's. Happy year's end. Because we should celebrate the end of the year, too.
I'm celebrating the end of the year with overdosing on Christmas music. And hopefully soon getting into some movies, too.
I'm all into the holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah spirit, ready to go.
You celebrate both, right?
Yes, I am an equal opportunity celebrator.
Are there any Hanukkah-centric films, TV shows, or like movie TV traditions?
Well, Adam Sandler certainly took care of that. He has his animated movie, Eight Crazy Nights. So he put his mark on Hanukkah traditional, and of course his Hanukkah song.
Classic. I love that song growing up.
Yes.
And I don't celebrate Hanukkah, but that song always was pretty special. Always cheered me up, made me laugh.
It was probably one of the longest songs that Z100 here in New York would play on the radio.
Wow. Pedro, have you adjusted to a warm Christmas coming out of Queens?
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, I mean, it's in the 40s right now, low 40s, so it's not like summertime, but I've spent like Christmases and Christmas time and New Year's in like warm climates before, so it's it doesn't feel like abnormal, you know?
Okay. It always feels weird to me. I've only had one Christmas growing up where I wasn't in like a cold weather, and it just didn't feel the same. I felt kind of a little bit homesick. Christmas for me is always a time, and I guess for everybody, to sit down and watch the classics. Are there any Christmas movies that you guys have already seen or on the list?
I have to say, I was interrupted from watching Home Alone 2 to record this podcast. I got pulled away because it was on Freeform today. So I set that recording and I was in the middle of watching it. And then a few days ago, part of the 25 Days of Christmas, also on Freeform, I was watching Home Alone. So
you watched both?
Well, I watched the beginning of one, and because I was watching, I wasn't able to record it. But now I was watching Home Alone 2. Both are on the very top of my list. Then there's Elf. And then, of course, A Christmas Story that's constantly on a loop on TBS for 24 mm-hmm. hours when it comes down to the holidays.
Yeah, I feel like TBS bought like Lifetime rights to that movie. They just hear that thing.
I believe they own it. The Warner Media, I believe, owns it.
Okay. Did they edit out Donald Trump out of that Home Alone 2?
That would require to bring back editors. Oh, you mean his line down the hall to the left?
Yeah, no,
That's still in the movie. Why would they edit that out?
Well, he's pretty controversial. A lot of people were.
I did not remember he was in that. So that must mean that I need to watch that movie again. It's been a while.
You know what? You know, Kevin needs to know where the desk was. Down the hall to the left.
I haven't watched Home Alone 2 in a really, really long time. I forget that it exists, but it's just because the first one just overshadows it so much. But I do remember that bird lady used to give me the creeps.
Yeah, the last time I watched them, I watched the first one. I haven't watched Home Alone 2 Lost in New York in a while, but
I'm telling you, that scene where when Kevin goes to, the toy chest store and gets those turtle doves and gives them out, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
You get lost. You get lost in that.
I think that and A Christmas Story have to be like the most watched holiday movies of all time. Even though like nowadays, I don't know, I guess it's been so long already that they've kind of like phased, not A Christmas Story, but Home Alone's been phased out kind of. But if you take all the years into perspective, I think it's got to be those two movies.
Then there's National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. That's a very popular
and
movie
that
as well.
Too, yeah. So
that's my favorite one.
Those three are probably like the most aired and viewed holiday movies. But I think as an adult, I've got to say, Bad Santa has become my favorite holiday.
Oh, God.
With the Billy Bob? Yeah. It's just every time I watch it, it's just good and fun.
It still holds up?
Still holds up, yeah. And the sequel is pretty good too, Bad Santa 2.
I actually used to own Bad Santa on DVD, believe it or not.
There you go.
I love that movie. That's actually a good transition. Thank you for bringing that up. The other day I was reminiscing on like DVDs and things like that as I was at a Best Buy, and they just had like racks of DVDs and Blu-rays, even like old movies and old series. And I started thinking about when I used to get DVDs as Christmas gifts. And I remember getting the Ali G season 1 and 2 when that was on HBO.
Wow, I forgot he had a show.
He had the Ali G show.
I forgot about that.
You forgot? How did you forget that? Aaron Cohen had the Ali G show.
I completely forgot. But that was like before the Chappelle show, right? That was like the Chappelle show before the Chappelle show.
I think so.
That was the origination of Booyakasha.
Yeah.
That's a good show, man.
Yeah, that I got that, and I think I had Curb Your Enthusiasm, the first season, because those were around the same era. That was also like height of DVDs as well as like height of piracy. And yeah, I remember having those two. And before that, non-Christmas related, I had the first 6 seasons of Seinfeld on DVD. I had the big box.
How did people know that you would like those things as a gift?
That's a good question. I think my brother knew I was a big fan of the Ali G show because we both were. And same thing with Curb, but Seinfeld, everybody knew I loved Seinfeld because, I don't know, I watched the reruns constantly. And then when they came out with the limited edition or the special edition or whatever, someone got those for me. Well, someone got one, I bought the other one myself. It included like the puffy shirt, a little like miniature puffy shirt from one of the episodes, and like a script with notes and a couple of story notes and things like that. It was really dope.
So you mentioned Curb Your Enthusiasm. In case you didn't know, it's coming back for one more season. The 12th and final season on February 4th.
Didn't they say that about the last season too?
You not want a 12th season?
I do. I'm just saying it. 12th sounds like they said that twice.
Well, they're saying it again. The 12th and final season, February 4th, 2024, on Max and HBO. We can all look forward to whatever mayhem, hysteria, and ridiculous, absurd situations Larry David gets himself into.
Was there any DVDs that you guys... Did you guys used to get DVDs and movies for Christmas or no? Was that not a thing?
I did, but I don't ever know why, because whatever I would ask for, I would probably only watch it once. Like I got Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I only watched it once, maybe one more time. That was it. I don't know why.
Is that like your second cousin gift?
No. I actually asked for it.
Oh, you actually asked for that.
I did ask for it. And then I asked for Elf, Monsters, Inc. I remember them. Lilo and Stitch, you know?
Oh, so you had a decent collection.
These were on DVD or Blu-rays?
These are DVDs. Blu-rays did not exist. I maybe owned two or three Blu-rays because anything I would watch, I could watch on TV or now Netflix.
I think
after the DVD era, that's when like Blu-ray sales and stuff and like just keep going down. Like I think DVDs were the last era of people really like wanting to like own movies and stuff like that. Because after the DVD era kind of came to an end and the Blu-ray era came, it like just turned into streaming after that. And people stopped gifting each other stuff like that. So.
Yeah. The DVD was definitely like the PS2 era, because that's how I used to watch everything. And then I think there was a Blu-ray on the PS3, but yeah, that was a It was a weird transition. It didn't really, and they were expensive too. The Blu-rays were pretty pricey. So I remember even still buying DVDs because they used to come with both the DVD and Blu-ray. So I used to always opt for the DVD because it was like $15 or $20 cheaper sometimes.
Taking us back to those days, you probably don't remember. I was very specific in my holiday list, my Christmas list, to the point I would say that I would ask for the widescreen DVD version, not the full screen, the widescreen. Because certain movies were, they would have two versions, the full screen version, which was 4x3, and then you had the other DVD version that you was separate and sold that was also 16x9 anamorphic. So I wanted to make sure to future proof it, to make sure I got that extra space on the side. When we got HD.
Well, people should know when you're dealing with a film buff, you know, you gotta come correct.
Even though you only watch it once.
My parents didn't know what's coming, and they, you know, one time someone gave a gift, you know, some, you know, family friend of my mom's like, uh-oh, that wasn't the right one. We'll switch it out.
not compatible here.
It's not compatible with the standards.
With the Toshiba.
With the standards, we were Panasonic DVD player users.
I think my first flat screen TV was a Toshiba. So. Okay. I have fond memories of the Toshiba brand.
Oh my god!
Rest in peace, Toshiba TV. Rest in peace.
And Philips too. Philips. I just read recently an article that Philips like stopped doing major electronics. They're just focusing on like small stuff. So apparently they don't make like TVs and that type of stuff anymore, at least here in the States. But I think it's like they're just like downsizing.
Stay focused, Philip. Yeah, they were never, Philips was always a smaller player.
Well, they were bigger in Europe because they're a European brand. I believe they're from the Netherlands, if I'm correct. But yeah, their electronics kind of like were more popular over there than over here.
Hey, they do personal care products.
Yeah, now they got men's clippers. Right. Clippers and
they do ear
trimmers on lock.
Toothpaste. You know.
Yeah, I think every trimmer I've ever owned.
Lighting, they're still in there. they it looks like on their website, they still do some TVs, monitors, you know, they're still in there. They're not at your party, but other people.
No, I think they might be in my bathroom. I think one of my shavers might be a Philips now that I, or a Norelco.
There you go.
Shout out Norelco.
Philips, you know, Norelco, we're here. We're ready for you to sponsor us. Product placement already done for you.
It's the end of the year. We're getting to the end of the year. This is our last episode of 2023. I want to talk through some memories in terms of like what we've seen that really stood out. I think we probably watched more TV shows than we've covered films. Definitely covered a lot of streaming films, but not too much of the cinematic, of the theater releases. But I was trying to think of, it's always hard to think like anything before summer because it just feels like insanely long ago. But I actually read something about it, and all these like lists are coming out, like the one Pedro, you just shared, NPR's list. But I think my favorite show of the year, which was probably the same last year, was The Bear. I don't know if you guys watched The Bear. I don't think you guys watched it, but it had like a bit of a slow burn to start. It's a heavy, heavy show. It's pretty dense. And it took me like two times to get through season two, but the payoff is so good. And they'll probably win a bunch of awards, especially for... one of the episodes, I think it's called Fork or Forks, that focuses solely on one of the, I don't want to say a side character, but he's not the principal character of the show. In terms of like directing, music especially, I feel like that show is just so focused and authentic. And it feels certainly out of place with a lot of other things that are on TV right now, in my opinion, especially on Netflix, actually. So this is a Hulu show, but FX But I feel like a lot of the stuff on Netflix is really, really bad. The shows anyway. But yeah. The Bear on Hulu is top, top TV for me. You guys should check it out. I know, Pedro, you try to give it a chance in season one, and you said you weren't really feeling it. Scott, I don't know if you gave it a chance, but it's really tight. It's really tight. It's like 8 episodes, 22 or 30 minutes each. It's great.
It's actually on my list.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I didn't know you had seen it.
I did. I watched the whole first season, and then when the second season came out, I was watching it the night of. I thought it was, you know, a very impressive show. It pushed the boundaries as far as in acting, directing, and it really felt like a documentary, just yeah, because of the characters felt so believable. To when the series first started out, all the characters pretty much hated each other, and it was just like disorganized chaos. And then you felt it naturally just grow into just everyone just became a new person of their own. But I think directing wise, it really felt like they were really trying things that were never done before. It really felt like there were a lot of one takes that went on for quite a while, which speaks volumes as far as the quality of the directing that was going on, and hopefully can get some recognition from the EGA or for the Emmys.
They should get some legitimate recognition. I think that one shot that you're talking about, that one long shot, I want to say, I don't know if that's from season one, but yeah, it was notable for that. They take a lot of risks in terms of like the editing and directing, but everything feels every decision feels very, very intentional.
I think it's because they let the actors, you know, let the story play out. That what finds to be is there's such a thing as too much directing. There's too many camera cuts. It makes you feel like the whole situation is being forced. It's like you're there. Your eye, the camera's acting as your eye, and you're watching things play out, and you don't feel like you're bouncing around the room, which is completely unnatural. You're watching it as a spectator, observing what's going on.
And the entire show takes place in this tiny restaurant that's also, it feels like a character because it's constantly evolving. It's constantly, it's either falling apart or they're fixing it up. They're getting in each other's way. So the camera feels squeezed in there at times. So like to your point about feeling like you're in there, like the camera, the way they position and move the camera around really makes you feel like you're in the middle of the chaos. The back of the kitchen is normally chaotic and they really sort of lean into that. And I think the main character played by, I feel like Jeremy Allen White, who plays Carmi, he was on another Showtime series before this, but I feel like as an actor, he might get a big breakthrough after this.
He was in Shameless.
Right. Yeah. He's from Shameless. But I feel like this kind of like really is going to put him on the map. He's also going to be in that Iron Claw, the wrestling film.
That's right.
That's my take. That's, I think, yeah. I'll look through the list while you guys are sort of going through yours, but that's certainly my favorite show of the season.
I would say in continuation with FX on Hulu, not because I only watched Hulu and FX. I also thought that Fleischman Is in Trouble, which is, I think I mentioned that in a previous episode, felt very close to home because it takes place on the Upper East Side, which is where I grew up in New York City. So it features a lot of the different landmarks and parts of that of town. So it felt very a look back in history of what I remember going back, where it's about Toby Fleischman was going through a divorce. His wife was, you know, a very well-renowned, you know, running a well-known business. And all of a sudden she just pretty much just disappears.
Yeah.
And what it's and like.
Then he, yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What it's like somehow becoming a father of two, raising them on his own without realizing that's what it turned into, his life turned into.
Yeah, that I watched that show as well. I loved it. It took a little bit of sort of time to grow on me, but it plays with your expectations all the time. So yeah, she leaves him, but we never see her perspective of the story until the second half of that first season. So the entire, the movie, the series shifts perspectives. Back in the first half is just him, second half is her, and then it's sort of both of them. And it kind of throws you for a loop because you establish these feelings toward her that you share from him. But then when you see her side, you're a little bit conflicted and you begin to question everything. He also reconnects with his old friends. Yeah, I forgot about Fleischman. That kind of came out of nowhere. It didn't really get a ton of publicity or anything. I even forgot about it until you just mentioned it, but I did like it a lot.
Hey, Joe, what are your thoughts?
Since we're on the topic of just TV shows, I think, and again, I'm like you guys, I watched a lot of stuff. So it's been a long year, but the one that stood out to me was, and it's funny because Netflix has a lot of garbage out right now, but Beef on Netflix was the one that stands out the most to me. I really enjoyed that one.
I never got to finish Beef. I think I saw the first two episodes, and even though that actor, and I don't know his name, I'm like really bad with people's names. I'm a big fan of his. He's done a lot of good stuff.
Stephen Young?
Yeah. I feel like he's good in everything, but maybe I got to revisit Beef because it just didn't connect with it for some reason.
Yeah. So it has the element that really catches me, which is that everything that happened in the first episode has consequences through the rest of the series. So, you know, you're thrown into the situation at the very beginning of the first episode, and it's like everything has a snowball effect from that one scene. And then it just opens up the world of these characters and their lives and everything else that's going on in it, while this one conflict, this one action that happened being the center of the story that carries on throughout each and every episode in the series. But that being the central conflict, we get to see the lives of all the other characters that are involved, that are involved with the two people that were involved in this road rage incident. Whether it's their families, you know, with Amy, the character that was part of it. We then get to see when the story follows her, we then get to see like she has a troubled marriage, she has like all these things going on with her professional career. And then we get to see with Steven's character, Danny Cho, we get to see like his relationship with his brother and his parents and some people like from his church and stuff like that. So I just thought it was cool. It was different than any other series I watched this year. So that's the one that really stood out to me.
Maybe I'll give that another chance. It did get nominated for a couple of Golden Globes just now. I saw a couple of days ago.
And then it's also not all serious, you know, it's technically a dark comedy. So you both got some laughs here and there just to make the viewing experience more pleasant.
Scott, did you watch Beef on Netflix?
I did not see it. It wasn't on my watch list.
It's not on your watch list. Put it on, dude. What are you out of your mind?
I don't know. Let me get back to you. I don't know if I'm out of my mind, but there's so much to watch that there's, you know, every single day you can hear of a new show you've never heard of.
I want to pull up a show that I really, really enjoyed, which was, I'm trying to find. Okay. Yeah.
This year, I will say, I'm sorry. before you say what you're going to say, this, I would just want to say this year was stacked with a lot of stuff. And I, for one, am guilty of not being on my film buff mode and going deep into a lot of these things. So maybe when we finish talking about our favorites, I'm going to just mention a quick list of movies and shows that I didn't get to see, but that I'm need to catch up on. Because there were, this year was stacked. And
Yeah, we also had a lot of stuff delayed due to COVID. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, and the writer's strike and the actor strike, which took up a big chunk of the summer, or a big chunk of the year. I think threw a lot of people off with their view and trying to get into stuff. People are mostly trying to see what's new, you know. Even though the strike happened, like I don't know, maybe close to midway through the year. People didn't go back to watch like older things. They were just waiting to watch the other things.
I wanted to mention the show, but I watched it this year, but it came out in 2012. It's on HBO. We Own the City. It's about the rise and fall and the corruption of the Baltimore Police Department in the mid 20 teens with the stars with John Bernthal. That's an older show. I was looking for it on like this top list, but and I was like, why isn't it here? But it came out 2022.
Yeah.
You suggested it, and I watched that. I thought it was a great miniseries too.
Phenomenal. I love that. That's kind of, for series, you know, obviously shout out to Succession. That was amazing as well. So that series finale aired this year. But in terms of like,
it doesn't feel like this year. It feels like 2 years ago, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was like this summer. It was just so daunting of a season and the way it went down. It just like, you just completely put it to the side because it was just too much.
Stuff feels like it came and went. I also watched Barry season 4. And what was the other show? I can't even remember the name. It just escaped me. And I think White Lotus might have come out. White Lotus might have been last year, actually. Yeah, White Lotus.
I will say one show that came out early this year that had a lot of hype, and then you know, it's just been so long, was Poker Face. Poker Face on Peacock. That like came out with a big bang. That first episode was, you know,
almost first episode was so good.
Yeah, it was cinematic, almost like a movie. But that came out. I don't know when it came out, but it must have been sometime really early in 2023 because.
That show to me really fell off.
Long and forgotten.
Yeah, it wasn't good. That's why, in my opinion, that concept started wearing pretty thin on me. After three episodes in. I stopped watching it. But the first one was fantastic, like really good. I don't know what happened after that. The other show I want to just mention quickly because it just came out so early last year is The Last of Us, which was a huge hit. But again, like it feels like so long ago.
Yeah, that was the problem. These shows came out, it really feels like a whole year. So, but yeah, Last of Us definitely up there as
the last popular
shows of the year.
The Last of Us was earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
It premiered, it will be a year on January 15th.
Yeah, so very early in the season, but we'll. During award season, all of these really good shows are going to get a little bit of limelight. In terms of movies, I want to give this an extra thought. Do you guys have any movies that really hit for you this year? Some favorites?
Scott?
Oh, you put me on the spot. I wasn't prepared for that question.
I'm going to go with, because, again, like I said, there's so many things I saw that weren't necessarily from this year that I thought were better than anything I saw this year. I'm going to stick with the things that really stood out that are different than anything else I've seen. And I think Bo is Afraid is up there with my favorite movie that I watched this year.
Yeah, I think that came out in April.
Yeah, that was 2023. So I think that was my favorite movie viewing experience of the year. It was a wild ride. It was a roller coaster. It was very trippy. It was sort of like Alice through the looking glass on drugs, something like that. You want to say that? You want to put it that way? But yeah, excellent movie. I just thought, you know, it's just from being, it had me hooked from the beginning, because it's kind of just goes, it goes from one scene to the next, like flawlessly. It's almost like it's not a one take, but it feels like if it's one take, because he's just like going and going, and he's like, you're just following this guy as he's going through this crazy adventure. And it just, one thing leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another. And every environment he moves into, it just opens up like a whole new world, a whole new scenery, and it's just completely different from the last. So I had a really fun time watching that film.
Scott, you want me to jump in there?
Yeah, I would have to think about it, because a lot of the movies I've watched, I don't know whether or not it was this year or last year, again, when it comes out. Because much of what I've watched has been mostly been TV shows, not really movies. So maybe you should, if you come up with some, maybe there's ones I've seen.
Yeah, I'm going to just go with total recency bias here. I mentioned on the last podcast that I watched a film called Past Lives about two childhood friends in Korea, and one of the friends, the girl, leaves and ultimately ends up in New York. They sort of begin to reconnect 12 years later, and then they sort of lost touch, and then they connect again another 12 years later. So we see these people at different times in their lives and trying to constantly reconnect. When they finally do reconnect, it's extremely heartwarming. It's extremely emotional. I won't give up too much about what happens, but it's a very, you know, it's less fairy tale and more like very just mature adult relationships and what that really means. It's very introspective as well. And then most recently I saw Godzilla Minus One, and that movie just blew me away completely. I didn't really know much about the story or anything. Obviously I knew that it had gotten excellent reviews from critics and fans, and I'm just not really used to seeing monster movies be so humanized, where, you know, you see the monsters through the perspective of the characters on the ground. So they seem absolutely enormous, or Godzilla seems absolutely enormous. And the destruction of Tokyo and surrounding areas are just that much more devastating and heartbreaking. This is a Godzilla that is sort of indifferent to people and his surroundings. He doesn't really have a motive or a goal or an enemy or anything. He's just a creature destroying everything in its path. And it really, we follow this one character who is a kamikaze pilot who basically turned out to be a coward, and he basically like avoided death because he didn't want to die for his country. And he goes home a coward, and it's a redemption story of him. Kind of like sticking up for his loved ones. And it takes place over the course of years. And Godzilla in this movie is portrayed as just like this creature who's out in the sea, and he'll just appear sporadically years later. So it's really, really interesting how they tell this story, to post-World War II story. The characters are great. The acting is great. The special effects, some of the special effects are absolutely incredible.
So does this movie have, is this CG, like, because it, I've never heard of the movie, but it sounds like what you're saying, it's like an independent foreign movie.
It's a Japanese movie. Yeah. It is CG. Yeah. Godzilla's all CG. The special effects are so really, really well done.
Is it big budget or is it an indie type?
I don't want to say it's indie. It's a Japanese film that got worldwide distribution. It's certainly not like Marvel kind of budget. There was like a rumor online saying that like, oh, they made this movie for like, I think it was like 15 or 25 million, but the director came out and said like, no way, like we did not make this for that low. Like it was expensive, but it wasn't as expensive as you know, the blockbusters that we're used to. And I think that just speaks to the overblown budgets and how careless studios are with their money. At least it feels that way. But it's a much more grounded movie. It's certainly more grounded movie. And it's more of a human story where Godzilla is just sort of part of that. But he's not the main, he's the main focus, obviously, but he's not the main character. We don't really see his perspective at all or his intentions. It's really good. Is it my favorite movie of the year? I don't know, but I just saw it 2 days ago. So right now it's still hot in the air. What movies, Pedro, did you want to see that you haven't been able to see?
So I'm guilty of slacking, like I said. I haven't watched as much as I want to, but I'll just throw a couple of movies out there that I'm sure a million people have seen that I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen Oppenheimer. I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon, The Holdovers, Talk to Me, The Creator, Poor Things. These are all, it's too much to get into, but
There's a lot of stuff.
The listeners out there just want to, you know, take note of these and check them out if you haven't already.
A lot of them are movies that are in the theaters now or just came off the theaters.
Yep. And Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. Apparently there was a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
Released this year. It was overshadowed by the Barbenheimer phenomena that happened with Barbie and Oppenheimer came out. But yeah, I completely forgot there was a Mission Impossible movie, and they're always fun. TV shows that I have not watched this year that I want to watch. I'm a Virgo on Amazon Prime, Dark Winds, A Murder at the End of the World, FX, Dead Ringers, which is a TV version adaptation of the David Cronenberg movie from the 80s, Dead Ringers. That's just a few things that I have missed out on. But do plan on watching
this. Wait, so does that mean you finally watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem?
And I have not seen that, so that's on my list of movies that I didn't get to watch. Because there were some animated movies, like the Spider-Man movie. I hadn't watched the Across the Spider-Verse Across the Spider-Verse. I hadn't watched that yet, and I watched it recently, and I thought it was really good. Ninja Turtles movie I have not seen, and I do want to watch that. And that also reminds me, because it's also on Paramount, The Burger 2. Still haven't watched them. And I need to watch it soon, because I probably missed out on the Arby's Good Burger meal special they had going on.
Good Burger 2 dropped?
Yeah, Good Burger 2
yes.
Dropped on Paramount. It dropped soon after, like, the trailer and it was pretty fast between the announcement.
Oh, you guys made no mention of this movie coming out.
Good Burger. Oh, we talked about it.
Yeah, when the trailer came out, but I didn't know them. You guys didn't say anything.
Oh no, because the trailer, the trailer.
It came out in the summer.
The trailer said coming soon or something, but it was soon after that.
The movie came out around Thanksgiving.
Have you guys watched it?
Not yet. I'm not a Paramount Plus subscriber, so I don't have that connection yet.
Okay. I watched Barbie this weekend. It was on it's on Max, and I liked it a lot. I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was great too. I love the practical effects and the set design. Like, if they don't win awards for like set design and stuff, I don't know what's going on.
Barbie World.
Excellent.
Yeah, it looked awesome. And even like the costume design and the makeup, right? Because like you see how the way she looks when she goes into the real world, she looks far more human. And that's also like the way they shoot it, obviously. So yeah, hopefully they do win some awards, because it was really, really, it was really good.
It was good. And again, you know, it's a movie that's different than everything else that comes out nowadays. So that's always what piques my interest.
Yeah, they took some artistic liberties, and I feel like everything paid off right there.
I will mention that I think I'm going to be going hard on the indie and foreign movies next year. I'm just gonna get back to my roots. You know, that was like, that was something I was big on, and I was just going through like some old Criterion collection films I have, and I was going through an old hard drive with some films I have on there. And
piracy days,
you know, no, just all movies that I've owned before legally and have digital versions of. But yeah, I watched this movie recently, Run Lola Run, from I believe it was the early 2000s German movie. Excellent movie, you guys should watch it. The pacing on that is incredible. It's very short, it's like an hour and 16 minutes or something. But you know, going back through some old archives of movies that I watched during college, I think, you know, it's gotten me into my into that mode where I'm just gonna go hard on like indie and foreign films and just really thoughtful, intelligent movies. So I'm looking forward into getting into that mindset again.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to another point. I wasn't sure I wanted to discuss, but I'll bring it up now. So like, we've been doing the pod for not exactly a year, but we're closing out the year, and I think the next episode we do will make it a full year. And we've been pretty consistent. We do, you know, twice a month. I didn't think we were gonna go that long. I was just like, let's just see how this goes. What happens if we keep it moving? And we were able to keep it pretty consistent. But over the past year, I've always thought about like, what is this podcast about? How do we talk about movies and TV shows? What is the identity of the show? And that made me start thinking about like how I watch movies and TV shows. And I think like you, I've sort of gone back to just watching not just a lot more content, but I definitely noticed that I've been watching a lot of stuff from like early 2000s to like early 20 teens. Mm-hmm. That's that's really resonated with me recently. And you know, just wanting to go back to the movies, just making it a habit of going to the movies more frequently. And I think that's something I'm definitely going to be doing, is just going to the movies more frequently, because I just feel like there's going to be a lot of good things hitting the movie theaters now, and less, I feel like streaming is going to have maybe the same amount of content it does now, but I feel like movie theaters are going to have some better offerings. I mean, right mm-hmm. now, if you just look, we have Godzilla Minus One, The Boy and the Heron, Poor Things, Eileen. Mm-hmm. So there's, if you go to the movies right now, you're going to have options if you're at a theater. And I think that's going to continue, hopefully. There's no big Christmas movie. Like usually, like 15 years ago, there would have been like a Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings dropping at this point of time, or the Polar Express, like a big draw, The Grinch. And there wasn't really anything this year, if you want to maybe consider Napoleon, that movie, which failed. But in general, I feel like pretty good.
Well, there weren't any like Christmas holiday themed movie releases. I think if there were, they went to streaming instead of like big wide national theater releases.
Right. But there's usually, at least in previous years, there's been usually like a big Star Wars or something mm-hmm. around Christmas yeah. to get people in the seats. Mm-hmm. And this year there wasn't, but with Disney movies kind of taking a backseat a little bit in terms of how audiences perceive those films going forward, I feel like there's a little bit more breathing room in theaters for other movies to have some space.
Well, there actually was, there's movies that are currently released, but they don't have such pizzazz as being considered as holiday movies. Like Trolls is out right now, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of the Songbirds and Snakes.
Wish
is out, which was Disney hope was going to be their holiday movie and didn't come out that way. Wonka is now playing.
That's true.
The Color Purple is going to be coming out for Christmas.
It's a good Put it this way, it's a good week and month to hit the movie theater. And
yeah, there's Scott, you're right.
There's something for everyone out right now.
Yeah, there is. Wonka just came out, and the Hunger Games came out, I think, a few weeks ago and did really well. A lot of people went to see that. I saw the box office numbers.
Aquaman's going to be coming out for, and The Lost Kingdom is going to come out, and this movie called Migration is coming out, which is a computer animated, what looks like a DreamWorks film.
Nobody's going to watch Aquaman, let me tell you right now.
That looks terrible.
That looks terrible. But I don't know how well Wonka is doing, but it's been well received to my surprise. I thought that movie was going to...
Well, Timothy Chalamet has a lot of fans, so a lot of people will go to watch
it. The reviews are good, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Both critics and viewers seem to like it for whatever reason. It has not changed my mind. I have no interest in watching it. But me, I'm not a big fan of musicals. So that's never an appeal. Scott, you saw it. You said you were not impressed in the text.
Well, I'm someone who has seen the original Gene Wilder movie over and over again many times. So I'm very loyal to it. So my automatic feeling to seeing a prequel of Wonka would not be as forthcoming as someone who would be seeing it as if they haven't seen
the Gene Wilder. Everyone's seen the original, Scott. But yeah, I get your point. Obviously, it's not going to live up to it, but you...
Go ahead.
All of that, why did you go watch this movie?
Why? Because I was interested to see what it is. But unfortunately, they relied quite a lot on CG background and backdrops. So that was kind of a backdrops. Backdrops.
Did you like, are you generally okay with musicals?
Yes.
Okay.
When the songs are good.
I like the trailer, and I'm looking forward to watching it, but it's not a movie that I'm going to go to the theaters to watch. I'll wait till it releases on my streaming, and that'll probably be soon.
Yeah.
Sooner than later.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it there. We'll circle back in a couple of weeks with some content for the new year. We'll chat about how we should approach that next episode, because maybe we'll do something fun. But yeah, we'll leave it there, guys. Thanks for joining us. Last episode.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
See y'all in 2020.